jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you. I don't even know if that's the right word. I'm going to use that word, though. I want to say thank you to those of you out there in Etherland that I never really get a chance to see, never really get a chance to communicate with. I want you to know this. I read your emails. I read every email I get. And I thank you for the encouragement. I thank you for some of the questions that you ask. I feel bad when you reach out to me for a solution of, Coach, do you know where I can go to church? Or, Coach, is there a good church in my area? Or Coach, what? And sometimes I feel so inadequate to give you answers on those things. I was having that discussion with Michelle yesterday, or maybe it was someone that I have so many discussions. And I said, somebody said, well, I just want to find a place where there's a good pastor. I said, okay. Give me one. And they said, where, in Ohio? I said, well, I suppose we could start there. Just give me one. And all of a sudden they were doing this. Now, I know some good pastors. I do. And I don't want to broad paint everybody. But, I'm just telling you, everybody's – I thought yesterday's show was one of the most profound shows that we've done. It came out of nowhere, but it was profound. And the idea that we are trapped in our own little boxes and what's true and what's not true, and the great deception that's going on all around us. And it is amazing to watch the deception that is occurring around us. For instance, our local school, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Our local school wants to put $3 million into a athletic facility. Because, I don't know, they want to put $3 million into an athletic facility. They have two school buildings, one school building anyway, that's ought to be condemned. I went to school there. My mom went to school there. My mother went to school there. It needs upgrades, and they're not going to put anything. First of all, I don't want to put any money into public education anyway because it's a sham. But the idea that we live in a society where people would put $3 million into an athletic facility when you got it's just deception. It's every stinking place we look. And until we begin to look with a, I don't want to say a jaundiced eye because that's the wrong thing. Until we begin to look with a knowing eye, an understanding eye, until those of us who, again, know the truth come to the point where we're willing to challenge the truth and speak out against these falsehoods, we are complicit in the deception. Does that make sense, Rich? For me to know to do good and not to do it, to me, that's sin. So the last thing I want to do is come across as a know-it-all or come across as a guy who's anti-church or anti-whatever. I'm not any of that stuff. But I know this. I know that we are being taught stuff that just is not the truth. And I'm not foolish. Here's what I'd spend a lot of my time doing. Google it. I do a lot of it. And you got to be careful because when you Google it, you'll find a lot of crap. That's where that knowing spirit comes to. That's where that Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. And you Google something and you begin to read it and you say, oh, that's a bunch of crap. Bleh. Then you read something else. You say, wow, there's something to that. And then it leads you not down a rabbit hole, but leads you down a path of truth that you did not ever see before. Now, there's a lot of things that we could get in an argument about, a lot of things that we could discuss. How about this one? Somebody asked me to do a show on this one, and I thought, well, I don't even have to do a show on it. Hey, guys, you certainly know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, don't you? Tell me you know that. Tell me that you know that Christmas is not Jesus' birthday. And please tell me that you understand that Christmas is full of pagan roots, pagan practices, pagan ideology. Yet, say that in the church, and it would be like cutting the cheese. If you were to say that in the church, yes or no? Yes or no? You walk into your church. Listen, I'm not legalistic, okay? I walk into the church, and what is up on the stage of the church? A Christmas tree. Now, listen. It doesn't offend me. I don't get up and walk out and say, oh, those pagans, those guys, what are we doing? How did we get to the point where we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus, at a time when he clearly wasn't born? He clearly wasn't born there. And we lie to our children about old Saint Nick and Santa Claus and say, oh, well, coach, it's just the holiday spirit. It's just get in the holiday. Don't be bah humbug. Get in the holiday spirit. And see, there's a word there, isn't there? Spirit. Get in the holiday spirit. To me, that's kind of dangerous. Because you get in the holiday spirit, and what do you end up doing? You end up having your credit card blow up on you that you've put so much stuff, and January hits, and you say, what was I thinking? Well, I was under that Christmas spell. It's under that Christmas spell. Again, deception. It's deception. I want to start today in Ecclesiastes. I'm going to share some stuff with you. Hey, listen, Rich and Robert and you guys, I ain't done with the Nephilim and the demons. I ain't done there. Okay, we're coming back. We're going to be in all things, try to have some balance here. So everybody who tunes in every day doesn't say, he's just a demon chaser. That's all he is. Although that's what I'd like to be. I want to be balanced in everything that I do. And I think there's some stuff right in front of us that we're missing, that until we get this, we can chase demons around every corner and it's not going to be effective for us. That's the point. We don't understand how they manifest in the church. Do you believe, just asking now, Roger, just asking, do you believe the Lord is glorified through Christmas trees and the way we celebrate Christmas? You don't have to answer because we know, no, he isn't. So why do we do it? Why do we do it? Why do we do it?
You're really taking my pre-Christmas spirit out.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to put a good spirit in you.
We do it for the children.
Yeah. Larry, same thing with education, right? We build the athletic facility for the children, right? We put them into those schools and make them seven times the demon they were when they were growing up in our house. But that's a whole different story.
I guarantee you every lie taught in the false churches has been justified for down the same road as we justify Christmas activities.
Amen. Hey, Roger, what would happen in your church if your pastor stood up and said, listen, beginning next year, no Christmas celebration in this church. There will be no Christmas celebration. What's going to happen there about the turkey time, you suppose, Rog?
Well, I don't think people are going to be happy.
Nope, they want to come and sing those Christmas carols. Oh, come let... I heard this in church one day. Ready? During praise and worship, whatever that means. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Christ the Lord. And it wasn't even Christmas time. And I thought, wow, I never looked at that song that way. That was a Christmas carol that we sang. But really, the idea is to go to church to do what? To adore him. Come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. But see, we put it on the pocket. We only silent night. We fall right into that trap that they've put us in. The tradition, the trap of tradition. Rich, I'm trying to break down some of those traditions. I don't know if you guys have picked up on that. You with me, Tim? All right, man. All right. So I'm in Ecclesiastes. Did I say that? I was up there this morning. It's really cold here. It's seven degrees, and cat wouldn't even go outside. I'm telling you, the cat wouldn't even go outside. Turned around, came back in. Had to pick him up and throw him out. He wouldn't even go out. Say, what are you talking about? Yeah, I have a cat that goes out. I can't explain it. He's like a dog. He goes out and comes back in. He gets up in the morning, he wants to go out. So I got a bat, you know, we got a litter box for him, but he wants to go out. So Ecclesiastes, it's one of those Old Testament things. But I think there's some great wisdom in there. Here's one of the things I'm going to focus. If there's a theme of Ecclesiastes 1, it is this. There's nothing new. There ain't nothing new. They're different. Deception is always used. Jesus told us to not be ignorant of his devices, meaning He always operates the same way. There's nothing new. And history is just a replay. Think about this a minute. Just think about history. God's children rebel. God spanks them. They repent. And he blesses them. It's one continuous recycle. Rebel. I lost my track here. Repent. No. Creates them. Rebel. Repent. Blesses. It's a continuous cycle all throughout the Old and New Testament. And it continues on today. And we are somewhere, it seems to me, if the Lord isn't coming back anytime soon, we are somewhere between punishment and repentance. In my mind, that's where we're heading. But the theme is nothing new under the sun, okay? The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now stop a minute. What does the word vanity mean? Shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. These men shall not have died in vain. What does the word vain mean?
Vain is emptiness or lack of sincerity.
Very good. Of no use, of meaningless, vanity. It's all vanity. That guy, you're so vain. Remember, all about him. It says excessive pride and admiration of one's own appearance or achievements and the quality of being worthless or futile. Isn't that something? If something is vain, it's worthless. It's worthless. You with me? You with me with what they're teaching us here in Ecclesiastes? So it says vanity of vanities. In other words, the ultimate vanity. The ultimate vanity. Everything's vanity. Well, he says, what does it profit a man of all his labors which he taketh under the sun? What do you get for that, Roger? All that labor you done under the sun, what's the profit? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth bideth forever. You're unmuted, by the way, Roger. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and it hurries to its place where he arose. In other words, sun goes right up and down, back where it was, stays right where it was. The wind goes towards the south, turns about into the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returns again according to his circuits. Wow, look, it calls wind a he. Isn't that something? All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea's not full. And then to the place from whence the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Is that true, huh? The eye. You never see enough, you never hear enough. Never satisfied with it. The thing that has been, verse 9, is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Do you guys understand that? The significance of this, even when we, yes.
I'm going to go back to bed.
Okay. Well, go ahead, brother. Just stick your head in that sand.
I was thinking of John Glenn as you were reading that. For those in the huddle, John Glenn passed away, you know, and in Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio, he's a hero.
Sort of.
I don't know if in my book he is, but. You know, given another couple days, he'll be off the front page and life will move on.
Be somebody else's turn, right? Alan Thicke just died. You know, he's the big news. This guy died and that guy's, there's nothing new under the sun. One guy comes, another guy's come. Let me say this about John Glenn. I'll say this for the dude. He jumped on top of a bomb and they shot him up into the sky. Let alone, that's some courage there. That's some courage. Hey, but Rich. He was 100% pro-abortion. So he wasn't really right as a senator, right? He was a senator. He ran for president of the United States. And he got on a rocket ship, and they shot him into the outer space. But he didn't have the common sense to protect an unborn baby. Does that make a guy a great guy? I don't know, man. I got some questions about that. Where was I, Jared 11? Oh, no, verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already, it hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no, listen, there is no remembrance of former things. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are come, that are to come with those that shall come after. Remember, those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it. Santiana, isn't that what he said? Huh? And didn't I talk last week about the fact that young kids think history began the day they were born? And what we see going on at, in public schools is now the elimination. The top, how about this one? The top 50 schools, colleges in America, just saw this statistic yesterday. The top 50 colleges, you can name them. Not one of them require any classes at all in Western civilization to get your degree. Isn't that something? So that's how they rewrite history on us, see? So hang on now. If they're rewriting history on us now, and there's nothing new under the sun, has somebody rewritten history on us before? If there's nothing new under the sun? People say, well, I don't have the faith to believe in Jesus. I said, really? Why? I said, well, I never see him. Not an eyewitness to it. I don't know that guy's there. So, okay. Believe in George Washington? So, well, sure, I believe in George Washington. So why? Well, the books tell us about him. There's a place, Mount Vernon, where he's born, died, buried. He was a real person. So that brother, they're lying to you. George Washington never lived. They're just making it up, putting it in books, and you believe it. How can you believe something written in an old history book? Nothing new under the sun, see? There's nothing new under the sun. And this lie, Abraham Lincoln, Honest Abe, couldn't tell a lie. That's George Washington. One of them, Honest Abe, he couldn't tell a lie, right? Walked a mile to give a penny back. All that baloney, see? It's all filtered. History is written by the winners, is what they tell us, right? Nothing new under the sun. What are you talking about, Coach? Deception. Deception has always been there. Always. Excuse me. Finally get over this cold. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the sun. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which was wanting cannot be numbered. Do you understand that? This is a cycle. It's all a cycle. It's all a cycle. Jared, let's go. Where am I? Okay, we're good. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. He's talking about himself. Yeah, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart rich to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. And I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. Hear that, Roger? The more you know, the worse it looks. Now, you can make it look good. The more you know, the worse it looks. And he that increaseth knowledge, he increases sorrow. Let's go to verse 2, or chapter 2, Jared. Let's go to verse 2. Verse 4. No, so stay right there in verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what? Why do it? I sought my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of my life. Okay, so here he is. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees and all of them, all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth the trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. And they had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were born, that were before me in Jerusalem. All my wisdom, also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever, imagine this, whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was the portion of my labor. And then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and all the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. So I turned myself to behold wisdom, madness, and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which he has already done. Here's the point. Here's the point. We teach people to live in the now. Now, we have to live in the now. We have to. Because it's the only time we have. Today, yesterday, today, tomorrow. That's it. We live in this time-space continuum. But what if you lived your life, talking about us now, what if we truly did what Jesus told us to do? Greater love is no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. What if we truly lived our lives for others? Well, what would it look like if we were to do that? I tell you guys to get up every day and on my phone. I got to get a new picture because I got more grandkids. But I look at them every day and realize I'm living my life. I'm trying to live my life, not for me. I'm trying to live my life for the Lord and for those that will follow after me. I think often about my dad. My dad's been dead about 10 years. He'd be 100, 1919 he was born. So he's coming up on 100 years old if he's still alive, 98 years old. And I often think back of all the stuff he didn't teach me and all the experiences that I didn't have and all of the, I'm not trying to get, what's the word, melancholy here. I'm just trying to, I'm trying to make a point to all of us. We are living in a, we are not the first ones to have passed this way. You understand that? And Paul tells us to keep the faith. Where is that? Lord, where's Wayne when I need him? Or you run into people and they say, well, keep the faith, coach. Keep the faith. Just hang in there, brother Dave. Keep the faith. Well, that's not what that means. To keep the faith means to protect it. Protect the faith. Guard it. Protect it. The purity of it. And Solomon, the Ecclesiastes, he's telling us, listen, all this worldly stuff that you, all this stuff that you're storing up to give to other people, let me tell you something. Your kid's just going to spend it. They're just going to spend it. Everything that you're pouring your life into and protecting and worrying about, it's all vanity. It's vanity. Because you, baby, are going to check out of here. And somebody else is going to own what you spent your whole life building. And you know what? They ain't even going to appreciate it. They're just going to think it's theirs. You think back to the great sacrifices that that those who came before us made, just even here in America. We just went through December 7th, 1941, and the average high school kid doesn't even know what we're talking about. Doesn't even understand the sacrifices. They don't understand storming Omaha Beach and climbing up the cliff. So they don't even understand it. They don't understand the dropping of an atomic bomb. Why? Because they're born today. They're just born here today. And so what we've done, well, scripture says that a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. It's not money. It's not all the goods you're going to leave them. It says with all you're getting, get wisdom. Get wisdom and understanding. And we're living in an area and a time in America where it is total and complete deception all around us. But here's the good news. Nothing new under the sun. We ain't the first ones to have experienced it. Am I making sense here? You guys making, am I making sense with you? And so our greatest desire should be to find truth and find wisdom, that when we leave here, we understand that those guys in the history books lived a real life. They lived a real life. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. And so that's why Roger said death is a great equalizer. Isn't that the truth, brother? The ground is level at the cross. We all pass through that gate. That's for sure. And what's going to matter at the end of this thing is not how much you gathered, but how much you gave. I believe that. I really believe that. We try to live that way, not being holier than now. Say, Coach, where are you going with all this stuff? Well, here's where I'm going with it. There's so much, again, there's so much deception out there and so much stuff that if we would just open our eyes and look around, realize there's nothing new under the sun. They pulled a coup all throughout history. We saw kingdoms get upset and kingdoms pulled down and rulers overthrown and rulers pulled down. And the motivations were probably all the same. Blind ambition, whatever, money, whatever. And they're doing it again. Trying to do it again. Because why? Because the spirit of Antichrist is a spirit of rebellion. You get that? Bible says rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Yeah. And the devil rebelled in heaven. He rebelled in heaven. He tried to pull a coup in heaven. He wasn't able to pull it off. So Roger, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that the Lord owns, the devil's going to try to get. Everything. And so why would we be surprised if, as some people say, that Donald Trump election was a miracle, that God put him in place to do whatever it is God wanted to do? Would it surprise us that there would be a coup to try to take him out? It's ironic, isn't it? Larry Nichols, we were the first one a month ago, and he began to warn us about the Electoral College and what they were going to do. And now it's at mainstream media, and Larry Nichols is on Alex Jones, and now all the whole world's talking about it. And why is that important? Because there's nothing new under the sun, and the greatest disinfectant is always sunlight. So when we shine light on it, it's harder for them to pull it off in secret. Nothing new under the sun. Kasich. Hey, Roger, that's why I'm mad about Kasich. Had I gone to John Kasich's office a week ago and shined the light on him, he wouldn't have been able to pull that crap off. You know who I blame? Me. I blame me. I knew I should have done it, and I didn't do it. Somebody jump in here real quick.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I have got a great idea.
Okay.
Something new under the sun. You know how they have those cruises where people go on, you have a great speaker, so on. I got a great idea. There's a great church I want to visit. We should take a whole bunch of people to this great church. It's up in Antarctica. All the
down
rest of priests are going there.
Down, Larry. Down in Antarctica.
Oh, you're right. Down in Antarctica.
Yeah.
Carrie's been there. Russian priests have been there. Little tiny church.
Yeah.
We should all go there and find out what that church is all about.
All right, you charter the plane and we'll go.
Oh, there you go.
Because listen, it's funny that he would say this. That's one of the reasons I'm talking about this today. See, one of the reasons I'm talking about it is we have been taught that this is all of history. That's what we've been taught. And now we're finding out that there's a lot of evidence that maybe there was something before what's in this book. Because let us never forget that the purpose of the Bible was to chronicle the advent of Jesus Christ. You guys understand that? This is not about a religion. This Bible is to chronicle the coming of Jesus, the salvation of men through the Son of God. And it sets up the historical path so we can go back and trace how this thing happened. Because while Jesus was being birthed through the Hebrew nation, while that was all going on, there was a world going on in South America and a world going on in North America and a world going on in parts of Europe and a world going on in China and a world going on in Japan and a world going on, pick a spot, in Australia. And we are to believe, they teach us, that this book talks about the creation of all things and all men. When Solomon just told us what? Nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. What do you think of that, Tim?
Well, I like this one. How many people know where the New Jerusalem's going to be at? Everybody thinks that we're all going to be popped up to heaven, but everything happens on the earth.
Coming down.
Coming
there's
down.
Nothing new under the sun, right?
Right.
Nothing new under the sun. He put them in the garden. I believe the New Jerusalem is going to be like maybe the garden done over again, coming back down, right? Listen, that's not theological. That's just me saying it, right? So here's the point, Rich. Here's where I'm trying to get. To make us comfortable to open up the box, just open it up and look in there and see if maybe there was a pre-Adamic world. Was there really more there than we know, we've been educated on? Steve Quayle, I'm going to try to do a show with Steve Quayle. It'll be one of those special shows. Now, Steve Quayle's just written a book that's soon to be a bestseller called Empire Under the Ice. You guys have heard of that? And Steve Quayle has been for 30 years exposing all of this otherworldly stuff that we don't want to believe exists, all of it. And I told you yesterday, and Tim brings it up, believe it or not, he and I haven't been having a discussion. There's something going on in Antarctica. There's something going on down there. Something is going on. And it has to do with, I don't want to say otherworldly, but has to do with ancient knowledge that has been hidden from us. Talking now about, I'm sorry, talking now about the earth being hollow. We've heard for years rumors of, I have, spaceships coming out from under the earth, in the earth, discovering pyramids in Antarctica. Yeah.
Hey, you know, John Kerry was up in Antarctica about 2 weeks ago. With
the highest elected official ever to be up there, and he was up there with Buzz Aldrin. What were they doing in Antarctica? Something is going on. You guys don't think I'm crazy, do you? I'm just watching. I watch my cat. My cat sits on the floor, and he sits like this, and he's constantly doing this. He's looking for a mouse. He's looking for something to follow. I'm doing that same thing, too. I'm sitting here, and I'm looking. Hey, that doesn't line up. What's going on there? And I'm not afraid, Rich, to see what it is. I'm not afraid to go into the closet and see if there's a mouse in there. I'm not afraid to.
Hey, Dave?
Yes.
The news said it was because of global warming.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, but see, I heard this, Rich. You want to talk about something crazy. They're doing all this global warming stuff because there is something coming that ain't going to be very good. It's going to be cataclysmic in regards to the heavens. Just read the Bible, right? Something's going to happen in the heavens. So they maybe know something we don't know. Now, I'm going to take you down another bunny trail. All the explosion of technology. Explosion of technology. I heard this. I can't verify it. But there I was looking down that track. Made sense. That all the explosion in technology in the world happened shortly after the supposed crashing of a UFO in Roswell, New Mexico. And that the scientists got a hold of whatever it was they found and worked backwards, and all of a sudden technology exploded. It has happened basically, guys, in our lifetime. This explosion of technology has happened in our lifetime, right? Now, you say, oh, Coach, that's crazy. Well, it might be. But I'm willing to peek down that hole and see if maybe there isn't something they haven't told me. Because there's nothing new under the sun. It's all deception.
Hey, as far as Antarctica goes, you got areas down there that there's literally more than a mile of built up ice over the years, over the land and stuff. But you know what? At some point in time, that ice wasn't that thick. You keep going back in time and that ice wasn't even there. At some point in time, Antarctica was probably the ideal location for civilizations to grow and thrive.
Unbelievable. Hey, Larry, you know what else I just read on the internet? It's on the internet. It's got to be true. They've discovered warm water flows in Antarctica. Think about that. Warm water coming out from the earth in Antarctica. What? Are you kidding me? See, I don't want it to be tinfoil hat, but I'd sure like to know what the hell that's all about. Oh, I said that word. I'm sorry. I'd like to know what the Hades that's all about.
We've got that right here in the continental United States in Yellowstone. When it's 30 degrees below zero, we've got warm water coming out of the ground in Yellowstone.
Amen. Hey, Dave. Yes, sir.
Oh, I want to just spend a minute on King Solomon. And, you know, I think most of us understand or have been taught wealthiest man in the world then. He would be the wealthiest man in the world now. And he is speaking so clearly to us, even like a precursor to Christ. And I'm not always good at this, but he's telling us, as he reflects on his life, where we should put our energy, where we should put our efforts. And our culture is 100% almost opposed to this. We are to gather as much as we can.
Yep. Yep.
We are to conquer as much as we can. And Solomon is reflecting back, saying, and much of this is a reflection of disappointment and the sadness that his life did not revolve around his faith in God as much as it should have been.
Amen.
You know,
that's
right. He bought what he wanted. He betted what girl he wanted. He did whatever he wanted, and he's telling us, you're wasting your time.
He now, did. Hey, Roger. And so, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. And our Lord told us that, too. He told us where our efforts should be. Now, how does that help us today? It should guide us a little bit in where we spend our time. And
right.
I'm not always good at that. And I'm not saying we need to toss everything in and sell everything and live in a tent either. But there's got to be balance.
So, Roger, what if, and this is just pure speculation, what if Donald Trump was sitting on his couch one day and his grandson jumps up on his knee and he's having fun, he's looking at it, and he looks up at the TV and sees what's going on in the TV, and he says, you know what, I got all this crap, and what's going to happen to my grandkids? What if he had that Solomon-like revelation that none of this stuff matters? None of this matters. What matters is, what am I leaving to my children and my grandchildren? What if he had that type of revelation? And to understand that if he had that, I'm not making him Solomon, but if he had that type of revelation, and then he began to dig into it and saw all these nefarious groups, all this nefarious stuff going on around him, that he made a commitment to himself and said, it don't matter, man. It's do or die now for my grandchildren. I'm 70 years old, he would say. We're going to be 70, how about this, numerologists, 70 years, 7 months, 7 days on the day of his inauguration. And maybe he just said, you know, hey, I might only live, I could get cancer and die tomorrow. But I ain't going to let this go on. So if that happened to Solomon, if Solomon reached that point and looked at what he had spent his life on and said, vanity, vanity, what a waste of, basically saying, what a waste of my life. What a waste of my life. Could it happen to Trump? Could it happen to me? Because I got to be honest, Robert, I get up many mornings and I say that. What a waste of life I've been. I wasted, oh my Lord, I wasted 45 years of my life. I just wasted it. Bible says, despise not the days of small beginnings and despise not the days of your youth. I wasted it. Just did. And unfortunately, we have fallen into that mess because, see, Roger, we don't teach our children to be great people and great citizens and great Christians. We teach them to achieve and be great, to have a good job and good education and a good house. We teach them that the end all is to own great stuff rather than possess greatness within them. That's the lament of Solomon. And that's the lament of what we're doing. As I started out by saying, they're going to build a $3 million athletic facility down there. If I was a football coach, I'd probably be cheering because it matters to me. What is the message that we're sending? What's the message that we're sending? We're turning out moral reprobates and putting a facade of a great school out in front of it. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Because the kids coming out of that school will be incapable of maintaining this Christian republic that we have, but they'll have a beautiful football stadium to be like the Coliseum where they lock all the people up. Somebody jump in here.
Hey, Coach.
What do you think, Robert? Yeah. Yes, Jared.
I just, it's kind of the idea of looking outward instead of looking inward. We,
or upward,
when you don't have spiritual eyes,
yes, sir,
you try and achieve things. Whereas when you do, you try and be what those things represent. Yeah. You try to be it first, and then maybe those things will happen. But it doesn't really matter.
Because they represent success in our minds. See, in our culture, in our society, they represent success. My wife yesterday, I'm going to brag on Michelle yesterday. She gave her entire day yesterday to some to a lady in need. She gave her whole entire day from it. My wife's great.
Where are you going?
She's great, man. And how much better off? Did you see Jim Brown yesterday? Did you see what he said about Donald Trump? Jim Brown told John, when one of those, the former great running back for the Cleveland Browns, Jim Brown, the activist, the guy we look at as the black nationalist, all that stuff. Jim Brown said yesterday, when that CNN reporter asked him about how come Donald Trump hasn't had any minorities or any women in his upper echelon of his cabinet picks. You know, Jim Brown said, the three men who influenced me most of my life were white men. That's foolishness, he told her. Isn't that something? Now, see, we look at people who have stuff and we admire them, the Kim Kardashians and the Kanye Wests and the Jay-Z's and the QPs, and we think because they have stuff, we achieve that. See, no. Michelle Dobenmeyer did something yesterday that was far greater than anything Madonna will ever be able to do in her entire life. And we don't teach that to our people, and we don't believe that, so therefore we fall into the same trap that Solomon has fallen into. Jared, throw up well, there.
One other thing I'd like to say.
Hang on, go ahead, Larry.
Ecclesiastes, the key for Ecclesiastes is he has to show us, he's trying to show that it's faith in God and being thankful to God for what we have. And the problem is that most people do not have faith in God. They have faith in themselves. It's faith in God. That's the key. And without that, we have nothing.
We don't. That's right. Jared's throwing something up there. Jared, here's what I want you to throw up there for me. I'm sorry. Because the one I just sent you, it's a standalone one I just sent you called Nothing New. I think that's what I put on it.
Hey, while we're waiting on Jared. You know, those guys that are saying that Trump's picks have no diversity or anything, just ask them, who the hell do you think Ben Carson is? Is he some lily white bleached out? You know, I don't know. I think Ben Carson is a really good representative of his race. I think he's
What's the matter anyway? Trump, I just sent it to you. It's a standalone one. It says nothing new. I think I sent it to you. Of course, I probably didn't. No, I sent it to me. Easy, crammy. Sorry, Jared.
The thing is that they in their minds, don't think Ben Carson is legitimately black.
They don't. No, that's right. They don't.
They make that stupid of an assumption, and then are amazed when we point it out to them. They're not amazed. They're upset because we.
But listen, here's what I'm, Larry, you broke off. Here's my point. I couldn't care less what they say. See, we've been too long controlled by them and their lying techniques. We've been controlled by that too long, to the point where they have become the salt of the church. We have adopted the ways of the world. Solomon is telling us, don't do that. And we want to hear from Bill Gates. We don't want to hear from Solomon. We want to hear from the ungodly. That's part of the deception. This is from a website called Got Questions. And I just thought this was interesting. What does it mean that there's nothing new under the sun? Ecclesiastes 1:9 is the origin of what has become the common proverb that there's nothing new under the sun. The verse reads like this: what has been will be again, what has been done will be done again, there is nothing new under the sun. As a modern idiom, there's nothing new under the sun is often used as a world-weary complaint against life's monotony. When Solomon wrote the statement, he was emphasizing the cyclical nature of human life on earth and the emptiness of living only for the rat race. The phrase under the sun, this is interesting, Larry, is used 29 times in Ecclesiastes and nowhere else in Scripture. Isn't that something? The intended meaning in Ecclesiastes is that what happens under the sun in a life separated from God is universal. The point of view in Ecclesiastes is an earthbound perspective. You get that? If you're looking at your life just as earthbound, that's what an empty, vain perspective on your life. That's the point Solomon's making. To say that there's nothing new under the sun means that there is nothing really new on the earth. All the activity of man during his lifetime is lost in the grander scheme of things and will soon be forgotten. Isn't this true? Huh? Isn't this true? History's being rewritten, all of this stuff. To say that, the extent of Ecclesiastes 1 discusses how the earth operates. The sun, verse 5, the wind, verse 6, and the water, verse 7, continue to function as they've always done in the past. Despite human efforts, the world continues unchanged. Global warming, don't believe it. Couldn't do it if we wanted to. Part of the writer's frustration on this observation is that no one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. And that's verse 11. People tend to forget the past, repeating its mistakes as a result. You see this? Is this where we are today? Remember, God's people rebel. God blesses his people, they rebel. He punishes them, they repent. Jeremiah 29:11 says, did I miss one thing? I'm sorry. In other words, life involves more than what happens under the sun. Living for God and his glory should be the goal of life. Those who do not seek this goal will be judged. Even our good deeds that have gone unnoticed in this life are seen by God and rewarded in the future. Michelle's got a crown waiting on her for what she did yesterday. Nobody knows it. She doesn't have a building named after her.
Coach, that's the whole reason. We don't realize all of this comes from God, is his creation. And we don't give him the honor and glory is there. That's why a wise man told me a long time ago, the most important thing I could study is the three temptations of Christ, because there is the source of what Jesus walked through quickly, and we can do the same if we follow in his footsteps.
Amen. Amen. This knowledge should result in a life lived for God with a deep love for others and a desire to make a difference, right? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." The Great Commission also gives a specific mission for the Christian life. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. The Christian life is not meaningless. There may be nothing new under the sun, but Jesus promises someday that he's going to make all things new. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that an awesome description? See? And it's not the message that modern Christianity is putting out. Modern Christianity, the message in modern Christianity is come to Jesus so you can get more stuff. Come to Jesus and we can get more. That's what we're messing with. That's what we're dealing with. Nothing new, nothing new, nothing new. And so we're living in a society, the Christmas season, which is where I started. We're in the midst of a Christmas season where it's all about accumulating stuff. Jesus died, was born. Let's accumulate a bunch of stuff because he came. Somebody rescue me.
Hey, Dave, can I brag on my wife for a minute?
Sure.
Yesterday, a group of roughneck, probably six of them, I guess, showed up at the neighbor's to take down a big tree out in front of our homes. Huge tree. And I mean, these guys were rough and they were working fools. And we stood at the window and watched them. And they were about halfway done. And Carla said, hey, will you, she was in her pajamas. She said, hey, will you take this out and give it to them guys? I want to buy their lunch. I said, well, sure. So I took this $50 out. And I mean, like I said, these guys were rough. And I handed that guy that $50 Carla had given me to give to him. It crumbled them. They could not believe that somebody not even associated with this tree, every single one of them come to our door after they were done and cleaned up and wished us a Merry Christmas. I mean, these tough guys almost had tears in them. Amazing.
Because it's so unlike us, isn't it, Rich?
Yep.
It's so unlike us. Nothing new under the sun. See, there's nothing new. There's nothing new. Well, I haven't gotten to where I was going to get. And I'm not going to get there. But point is this, fellas. We've been told a lot of stuff that's not true. We continue to be told stuff that isn't true. We are not to be ignorant of his devices, and yet we are. So unfortunately, or fortunately, the phrase that we've come up with is truth sounds like hate, because to those who hate the truth, it's the reality of it, guys. When we begin to speak up, Solomon just kind of peed on somebody's parade here, didn't he? When he wrote this richest man who ever lived said, you guys are just wasting your life and wasting your time. And here we sit in 2016 and everybody's striving to get more and get more and get more and build more. And it's all vanity and vanity. All is vanity. Point being, nothing new under the sun. What are we passing on to our own children? Larry, is it you, Larry? Somebody is unmuted.
Okay, I'm unmuted. This might be a good opportunity for me to just throw out an invitation.
Oh, thank you, Larry. I forgot about that. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
All you guys out there watching, listening, whatever, the ones on the queue, all of you are invited to seek the Lord and say if you want to do this. But that number that's in front of me, that's my regular cell phone number, and I just use it and set it up and put it up where you can hear my speakers, and the mic can pick up you when you talk. So that's how you get connected when you call in. But that's the number I answer all the time. I'm throwing out an invitation for those of you that are led to contact me. And whether it's just one-on-one with you and I, or if we get a small group together, we'll find a way to do it on the internet or something. But if you've noticed over the months, there's a lot of things that I share with the group that the Holy Spirit shared with me up decades ago, even that some of this stuff came to me that just kind of blows the water or blows the foundation underneath the quote, modern church's teachings, and exposes it for the lies that they are. Well, there's a whole lot of truth about prayer that the modern churches are so far off base about that it's important that the true body of Christ understand what prayer is from an aspect of what the New Testament has to say about it. It took me hours and hours and days and weeks to put to go through it and get a handle on it myself and let the Holy Spirit help me. And it can't be passed out and can't be shared in just a couple of minutes. So I don't even try to. But if you contact me, arrangements, and I will be glad to share with my brothers and sisters in Christ what the Holy Spirit has shown me about prayer in the New Testament, because until more Christians understand what prayer really is and how it goes about, we're going to be walking in an ineffective walk, and it'd be much more effective if we get our prayer life lined up with truth as well as the rest of our beliefs.
843-957-8180. Give that again. 843-957-8180. That's Larry's number. And don't forget tonight, women's conference call with Michelle tonight. She told me what time and I forgot. Standard time, probably 8 o'clock, I'm guessing. If you want to be part of that call, it's just girls getting together and encouraging each other and praying for each other. If you're out there and you'd like to be part of that, just email us. Say, hey, I'd like to be on that. And we'll put you on the list. And we don't check off names, make sure everybody's there and all that. But it's just a great, great chance for women to be able to fellowship with women. And Jared, as good old Jared always does, he put up there on the screen Ecclesiastes 12. It's the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. And it finishes as this. Solomon says this. Verse 13 and 14. Okay, boys, let us hear the conclusion of this whole matter. He's just written 12 chapters. So you want to, let me sum it up here for you, boys. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It's going to be judged. Wow. If we could understand that. So I just feel, yeah, go ahead.
I need to know what Michelle's email is again. Gail sent an email to her, and we must have sent it the wrong place because we never got anything back.
Okay, send it to me, Larry, and then I'll get it to her. Otherwise, you know, I'll try to give emails. What is that again? You know, and then, so you send me an email, and I'll send you Michelle's email.
Okay.
Anybody else do that? Coach@ptsalt.com. Just send me an email and we'll get you on the list. Okay. Boy, we're running down. This wasn't very edgy. This wasn't very intriguing today, but it's full of truth, guys. It's full of truth. And hey, Sarge, good to see you, man. Again, in all things balance, I'm rip roaring ready to go. I had a conversation with somebody yesterday about making a play with our governor. And he said, that game's over. Sad, but that's probably the truth. Church isn't going to rise up. Church isn't going to fight back. That wouldn't be very Christian for the church to stand up and fight back. Anybody else for anything for the good of the group here? Pray.
Coach, it's never over because the Spirit is alive. That's He's right. alive in you. And whatever you do and say is put out into the atmosphere. Amen. And something will happen in days Amen. Ahead.
I receive that, Larry, for sure. Or Michael, I receive that. And speaking of Larry, let's be in prayer for the chaos going on with the Electoral College. Hey, guys, listen. This is so serious in so many ways. If they don't let Trump be president, all hell. I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to say that. All Hades will break loose if they don't let him be president of the United States. This is serious stuff. Pray that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. Every tongue rising in judgment against him shall be condemned, and that God's hand will move in a way that will be miraculous and unmistakable in what's going on. For there is nothing, as we just read there, nothing hidden that will not be revealed. What does that say, Jared? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God's in control. He doesn't control everything. He doesn't micromanage. But the hand of the Lord is ultimately in control and moving. God bless y'all. We'll see you tomorrow, Friday. Wow, already. Stay warm.